Israel will never stop its occupations, even if the Palestinian state is recognized. The peace plan has always been a trap for the Palestinians to advance their cause. Look at the crimes and settlements. Every time after a genocide occurs, the terrorist states, the US and Israel rush for more talks. It is a game of death for a free Palestine. Palestinians think that they can attain independence by force, but that won't happen. Israel cannot be pushed to recognize a terrorist state. As apartheid was destroyed in South Africa, so shall Palestine be free from the Israeli occupation. Netanyahu has already rejected any proposal or ultimatum for ending the illegal occupation of the West Bank.
Just some of the viewer comments there. Sukha Chanda, let me ask you, were a third intifada to take place? And by all accounts, there is one taking place in East Jerusalem, Al-Quds, but overall in all of occupied Palestinian territories. Do you think that would work for or against the Palestinians?
It would definitely work for the Palestinians, but at the current level of struggle, it's not going to strategically up the ante for Palestinian liberation. Really, what we've seen in terms of a historical trajectory, and I've mentioned this many times before, is that the Palestinian Revolution emerged phoenix-like from the ashes of what seemed at the moment, at that historical moment, to be the defeat of the Palestinian Revolution. So since 1967, we've seen the Palestinian struggle being ejected out of Palestine into Lebanon and Jordan, and from there all the way to Tunis, to North Africa. And then with the Oslo Accords and the Oslo peace process, for all of its dangers and its entrapment, which is obviously there, nonetheless, the Palestinian revolutionary leadership was enabled itself through the tactical struggle of, on the one hand, holding up an olive branch, saying this is what we strategically want, we want peace and justice, but also saying that weapons are in our other hand, and with actually a twin-track strategy, they came back into the heartland of Palestine in the 90s, and then under the leadership of Yasser Arafat, who mobilized all the factions, including Hamas and its armed wing, with all the other secular and leftist and socialist revolutionary factions, launched the Al-Aqsa Intifada at the end of 2000. And that saw the highest level to which the Palestinian revolution has achieved. And then subsequent to that, we had a number of victories. Actually, in 2000, let's not forget, in the summer, that Lebanese Hezbollah dealt a historic and severe defeat against the white colonial settler state of Israel in expelling it from its occupation in Lebanon. And then, and after the eruption of the Al-Aqsa Intifada in 2000, we saw in 2006 another historic defeat meted out to the colonial settler project, again by Lebanese Hezbollah, and also with the support of other revolutionary factions in Lebanon, of course, of the Syrian government. And that is why the Syrian government and its people have been targeted for their role in supporting the Palestinian Revolution and Lebanese Hezbollah. So really what we see now is not an escalation to new strategic heights of the Palestinian struggle. We've seen it actually crumble, and particularly as a result of the Arab Spring, we've seen focus and conflict being shifted from hitherto the strategic enemies of the people of the region and the Palestinians to the allies of the people of the region in demolishing Libya and attempt, and to a certain extent demolishing Syria. So you can see this reflected also in Palestinian solidarity circles in the so-called West, where you have the same alliance of forces who have dealt a defeat through the Arab Spring, i.e. you have the Eurocentric liberal and leftist factions who are hustling on and pimping out Palestine for their own prejudices and their interests, and they are in a formal and informal alliance with what I call NATO's proxy death squads, the pro-Al-Qaeda and the pro-Ikhwani forces, who are also involved in the Palestinian solidarity circles in the West, who are hustling and pimping out Palestine for their own strategic interests. Both of these constituencies are actually allied formally and informally to the NATO project in demolishing the whole region. So we have a really very messy and complex and confusing and befuddling situation as it presents itself. But the Palestinian revolution is pushing against that whole whole network of nefarious interests who are interfering in the Palestinian cause. They're pushing that back because the Palestinian revolution can only but in principle and in strategy push back the NATO and Zionist and Gulf cooperation country strategy for the reason because their backs are against the wall, and it's a real necessity of life and struggle that the Palestinians push back this whole NATO and allied death squad project. And that's what they're doing, and that's why Palestine remains a beacon, Al-Manar in Arabic, and it happens to be a Lebanese Hezbollah TV station as well, the beacon, the manar of the people of the region struggle.
Well, let's look at Europe as a whole. You know, in succession, we have seen so many countries, quite oddly, at least it appears odd, to come out and, you know, bring forward their recognition of Palestine, though it's a non-binding stance that they have. And they've been criticized for the non-binding part by Palestinians. They say, we don't care if they recognize us. Why don't they make it official and take that step? What do you make of this coming in secession and in the series that it has? And I think the latest may have been France, if I'm not mistaken, in the list of European countries to have this non-binding resolution to put forward in recognizing Palestine.
Well, these are the stingiest entities on the planet. They're so stingy towards our people, but the only thing they deliver to our people is sanction, poverty, hunger, disease, and NATO bombs. So why are we expecting the people who have delivered this, the greatest purveyors of violence on the planet, still remaining today, to paraphrase Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., why do we expect the greatest purveyors of violence on the planet to deliver any type of justice to us? No, they're not going to. They are our strategic enemies. On the one hand, they were threatening, as it's come out, nuclear attack on socialist Korea just in the last decade. That's the United States. It's come out because of the former President Thabo Mbeki outed the Brits and former Prime Minister Blair that they were attempting a military war of aggression against Zimbabwe in the last decade. And the Zimbabweans and South Africans sabotaged the British attempt of a military coup against Equatorial Guinea, led by Simon Mann and Margaret Thatcher's son, Mark Thatcher, as well. So we can see the type of relationship that France, Britain, and Europe in general, and the North America has with the rest of the planet, and why on earth would we expect them to deliver any kind of movement towards justice for the Palestinian people? At the same time, the Palestinian leadership is not wrong to put pressure on the enemy. It's not wrong of the Palestinian leadership or any Global South leadership to say to its strategic enemies, actually, you've got to back off and you've got to respect us economically, culturally, and politically. That is an absolute God-given and political right of the Global South and the Palestinians. But at the same time, the Palestinian leadership should be clear, and I think it generally is clear, like most of our Global South leadership, that what these guys are actually planning 24/7, 365 days a year against us, which is nothing more than more divide and ruin, more traumatization, and more devastation. That is the model of Iraq, Libya, and Syria, and let's not forget the wars of aggression by the white colonial settler state on Lebanon. And Lebanon is not finished. Lebanon is still seeing the impact of NATO and the Zionist states' death squads against it, and that is unfinished business there for the West and its regional allies. Lebanon will see an attempt at total destruction to destroy the greatest non-state support of the Palestinian revolution and very much so the regional liberation, which is the Islamic resistance movement of Lebanese Hezbollah, whose mainstays and base and support happens to be, guess what, the Syrian Arab Republic and the Islamic Republic of Iran.
It's a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much, filmmaker and political commentator Sukun Chandan there from London. We would have had a debate, but we had investigative journalist Lee Kaplan from San Francisco do a no-show. That does it for this edition of The Debate. For me, Kovat Tawai, and the entire team here in the capital of Tehran, it's goodbye.